Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Relaunch vom Podcast Create Your Work Life. Der Podcast für optimistische Gestalter mit dem Blick auf Arbeitsglück, Traumjob und Arbeit mit Sinn. Und im Fokus auch auf neues Lernen und mentale Stärke. Brand new ab Oktober 2020 gibt es 2 Wohlfühlstimmen und englischsprachige Gäste. Hello and welcome to the Create Your Work-Life Podcast, the podcast for work and life designers looking for inspiration to increase engagement, meaning and happiness at work. Today we have a very special guest, Micha Pogacznik.
Yes, our guest today is violin virtuoso Micha Pogacznik. Micha is a cultural entrepreneur, social artivist, and ambassador of culture of the Republic of Slovenia. He is known for using his violin in organic and disruptive ways to reposition the impact of the arts in society and connect disciplines, cultures, and generations. He is founder of Ecoculture, NGO Gandin Foundation, and Idriart. With his initiative, Terra Parcival, in his homeland Slovenia, he envisions a new prototype of society with social arts at its core. Trusting the integrity of classical masterpieces, Micha treats them in completely new ways, inducing co-creation and the entrepreneurial spirit in organization development. His core vision is to awaken the artistic principle in every human being while addressing structural and systemic problems in society. He's also adjunct professor of arts and leadership in IEDC Bled School of Management. I met Micha just by chance in 2016. On his way back to Slovenia, he stopped by in Munich and organized an intimate workshop for a group of HR executives. And I had the pleasure to host the event at our brand new co-creation place, Co-Crea. Since we have been in touch and we feel very, very honored to spend an hour chatting in our new podcast release.
Hello, Micha. Herzlich willkommen. A warm welcome to our Create Your Work Life podcast. It is so great that you found some time to talk to us this morning.
Lovely. Looking forward.
What does Create Your Life mean for you?
Create Your Life.
Create Your Life. Yes.
Good question. What I call, in reference to masterpieces of music, I say every human being can become composer of one's own masterpiece as biography. So we can become composers of our biography, which should become a masterpiece. Unfortunately, very often in life, people after midlife crisis, they stop developing, regress. They go with the biological cycle instead of starting to really develop their spiritual side and then go on until the very last breath. So that's the problem, isn't it? How to really take your life in your own hands when you are mature and responsible and make something out of it that is absolutely unique, never before, never after, once in a time.
So Micha, what, going back in time, I'm intrigued. What was your first job?
I've been all my life unemployed. So it was always changing the given norms that come to you from established order. It looks only when you read my obituary just before at the beginning, you know, it looks like I have all kind of jobs, but it's everything self-made, more or less. We can go into that if necessary. But the point is that every time I created another social innovation in my life, when it peaked, when it came to a point when it could become very fruitful, I knocked it down and started something new, which is called success trap. I know that there is such a thing as success trap. Mm-hmm. But if I look back into my biography, I can distinguish four lives in this lifetime. The first life was the burning, absolute fire to be a violinist. Just that. I was totally immersed into this image of going beyond what is possible. And then I noticed that being a violinist in this modern world means you become part of the system that is few hundred years old and it does not fit in society anymore. It means even if you are the best of the best, you are still doing concerts, playing concerts, and next concert, next concert. And actually, you do not have access to the region or to domain of society where the real problems need to be solved. You just entertain, more or less. So in my 30s already, I started searching for a way out without leaving behind the essence, which means violinist. Violinist I have been always, and I'm more and more in my life as I'm getting slightly older. But I have said to myself, violin is the key to unlock the social problems and to unlock the future, so to say. How can I find the lock into which this key fits, so to say? And the first unlocking was in a magic place, most magic place in Europe, is the Cathedral of Chartres. You may have heard about it, the first Gothic cathedral. That is where I, in 1980, oh my God, it's 40 years ago. I played my first concert there and realized that actually you do not play on small instrument there. You have to learn to play on the cathedral. You have to imagine this cathedral is instrument. And now how do you bring this huge space, which is created out of the musical principles? We know that, you know, all the measurements of the Chartres Cathedral prove that they are musical, all the relationships, the sacred geometry and all that. So how do you expand your senses, in a sense, to touch the whole cathedral and let the cathedral resound? So this is my learning from there. So I noticed, you have to pay heed to the periphery. You have to address periphery, not your ego, so to say, but you have to address the totality. So, and of course, I was successful, as they say. We had 1,200 people every summer from all corners of the world. And then I made a cut. At the moment that I could take off with a career in that direction, I have noticed the world is breaking. It was you know, early 80s when East-West was beginning to start running into what then later became Berlin Wall and all the social changes. Well, I was sort of really noticing this is now the area where I have to give contribution as an artist. So I invited my audience to start travels with me. So that was reverse. Artists travel to people who are passively somewhere. They go to the hall. But now I said to people, pack the suitcase like I do, and let's meet in Budapest, let's meet in Prague, let's meet in the capitals of Central Eastern Europe, where things were starting to cook. You know, where the anticipation was already in the air that something will happen. So I started at the same time when Gorbachev started with my movement. It was parallel, but it was underground. It was through the arts. So, and that led to an enormous explosion of events. I created 200 festivals, and it went as far as Tibet, Amazonia, you know, you name it, where we were. And I always portion of my audiences came there. Some came there. I had up to 8 festivals a year. And sometimes one after another, so people were just following. It was like a caravans going across Europe or across the ocean and so on. So that was the 80s and mid-90s. And then in beginning of the 90s, I started my third life. And that was when I confronted business world with the question, can the art unlock the potentials in human beings? Because we operate on 5%. And I said, if we are just normal kind of engaged. But when you get engaged in a masterpiece, you operate on 600% because you identify totally with this organic, meaningful total, fantastic, inspired, beautiful masterpiece. So you completely identify, you have no choice, because you cannot perform halfway. Either you are fully there or nothing. So, and I said, aha, we artists have a great help. We must help business. So I reversed the cause again. Like before, I reversed our audience traveling. Now I reversed art sponsoring business, not business giving a little bit extra money to these artists so they give you in peace. They give you, you know, they don't scream all the time how great they are. So here is some money and leave us in peace. No, the other way around. The arts has to come now and urgently to help leadership to develop those skills and those capabilities and develop senses. I'm speaking about 12 senses, not only five, you know, and more. So to develop this sensitivity, to actually be able to deal with complexity that is now falling on everybody. And of course, now, since the corona hoax we have now, it is absolutely urgent that we develop those possibilities which can even go through the internet, through the, I call it subnature. Because the all this, what we are now chained to, this whole necessity to work online, that is more dead than nature, than dead nature, more like stones and mineral world. This is even more dead. It's subnature. But strangely enough, music goes through. Listen, if I just play one phrase, you will immediately notice a difference between talking, which sort of addresses the left side of the brain, if you want, in those terms. But then you play. When I start playing, completely the space changes, the magic comes, the beauty comes. And now, of course, the problem we have at this moment with, let's say, teaching leadership and so on, is that people, when they enter this experience of music, they start just enjoying it. They don't have developed inner discipline how to listen. I say, we are born with hearing, but we have to learn how to listen. These are two different things. It's not enough to have ears. One has to learn how to actually steer with one's own attention directly with the music unfolding, with this creation unfolding, to be with it, not to be outside and just like it. Mm-hmm. Because there is nothing worse in confronting art if you just react. You know, I like it, I don't like it, or so. So who cares? You know, art is not interested that you like it. Art wants to take you on its wings. And in a process of being involved in the art, you start changing. You don't even notice, but you're starting to change because it restructures you. Your whole inner human being starts breathing in a different way. It is restructured. And this inner source of potentials that we all have, when you are finished, when you get through the masterpiece experience, on the other side, when you come out, you are suddenly on the other level. You can now deal with your immediate problems with different kind of tools. So this is why I work in a business environment. Okay, does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm, totally. It was a bit more than the first job, but it really explains that creation and the evolution and the creation of this journey you're in up to Corona times. Thanks so much.
So what would you like me now? Please ask me some questions. I can tell you all kind of things. But you already said in my obituary, which you had at the beginning, right? You already said that my bottom line is repositioning the role of the arts in society. Mm-hmm. Because it is now in the wrong place. It's in the place of, let's say, snobbish entertainment, more or less. Beautiful concert hall, but now what's happened, you cannot go to concert anymore. So anyway, so here we are. The arts has been cut away for good reason, because the arts are very dangerous. Especially they can wake up people, because what we are now confronting in this crisis time is who is asleep and who is waking up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huh? Isn't it? So there we are at this threshold of waking up, not only living in the mainstream media, which sort of tells you what you should think, and but actually starting to think for yourself and to think and to go beyond abstract thinking. That is where the arts come in. They put life and flexibility into your thinking. So I invite, therefore, my audience, my leaders, my clients, I invite them into music to experience a journey on which they learn a fundamental capability of a performer. Because we performers, we are all the time, when we perform, in a state of positive schizophrenia, which means we are two people, at least two, if not more people in one person. On one hand, we are completely engaged, totally, with no exception. You are in the piece. At the same time, you're observer and you guide this other person who is yourself as well. So you are divided into many people while you perform. That is why the performance is brilliant when things go right, because you guide yourself and at the same time you are completely, you see, and that's not possible in usual business deliberations. We stay in a mode of black and white, yes and no, you know, this kind of dualism where, well, the feelings are out. They say in business, thinking and doing, and they completely forget that in the middle there is feeling, which sort of corrects, which guides, which gives sense of, is something real, is something true, or is something just, you know, a PowerPoint presentation?
Feelings, that's a very, very important topic. When you think back to school days, to your school days, and learning in general, Micha, when do you think that you starting enjoying it, and what did it make so special for you? And second question, was there someone in your life that had a special role there?
Yeah, this is connected because intimately it's connected, because on one hand we go through the schools and yes, there is a model you have to go through, and later in life, you know, when you think back, there is so much that you learned that you have to unlearn. Learning had steered you in certain direction, and in order to find your way through the labyrinth of life, you have to first unlearn a lot of things that are sort of there, a residue in your inner memory. So that's one thing. But then through this monotonous, very often, thrashing that you have to go through in the schools, there comes moments of the Sternstunden. So for me, there was a Sternstunde, this moment of stars, when I have heard my great idol, I could say, violinist, the greatest violinist of all times, Henrik Schering, when I was 12, you know, I was knocked out. I couldn't eat and sleep for 1 week. Now, when I heard him play Brahms Violin Concerto in Ljubljana, it was total, I was reduced to zero. And since then, when you have this extraordinary inspiration in life, since then, this is like something that pulls you forward and everything else doesn't matter so much. Yeah. And it pulls you forward, and the dangers could be that you would want to copy something like that. But I have in my life somehow always refused to make recordings. So I would not be copying what is already there, dead on the discs. But actually, I was always looking for the living evolution or development, and that led me to a very different place, despite the fact that I was so much inspired by one particular style. So which led me, as I say, to this place where I'm now, namely to be a violinist and actually stick my nose in everything else besides violin, and explore what would it be if the art would become the central thing in society, where actually decision-making and learning would be always elevated by this phenomenon fact of resonance. You know, resonance, here. This is an old gong from Bali. So You see, resonance, well, I have now technical term, I call it resonance platform. How do we achieve a state of inner experience as a group, as a team, as a company? How can we reach that platform, which I call resonance platform, which is of course very obvious when you observe a concerto with orchestra, and when you play symphony orchestra, they it's before they start playing, they are just normal people, quite problematical people, musicians. You know, I wouldn't recommend you to get involved in musicians. But once they start playing, they are instantly transported to that place, which is quite something else, because they are now within masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And that is the place which is really productive and very disciplined. And it's not like discipline because, I have to be now disciplined. Yeah. There is no question about it. It's normal. So this super normal experience becomes normality. So I would say, since I have had this experience, I always see my life to be under normality when I'm not on that level. It's always, when people say I feel normal, then they are already below normality. And when they say we want now normal to come back, I say don't want normal back. Also not new normal, that's even worse. We want to go beyond normal, to that place, which is supranormal, above normal, which is genius, no? So striving for genius. That's what's missing in the world today. People are too quickly happy with, for instance, in business world, they want to be excellent. You know, they want to be excellent. Let me paint that for you. You will understand. Yeah, okay. The normality is this way. Here we are now, and this is the next quarter. That's normality. And this is like 5 million profit. Yeah. So that's okay. So people go there, and when they are there, they get applause. They get perks and extras, you know, and they feel like they are excellent. Mm-hmm. So now we artists, we go like this. Here. 50 million, yeah. So that's our approach. Mm-hmm. What do you like better?
Yeah.
Genius.
And that's genius.
Lots of energy.
So these people who want to be excellent as a goal, I say, don't take that as a goal. That is a starting point. Yeah. In arts, if you're excellent, you just came fresh out of some school or so, then you're excellent. Then you start. Mm-hmm. And 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 8 years. 300 years, then maybe you get better. But it's going beyond excellency mythology. Mm-hmm. That's what. So it comes out of engineering, of course. We know that. And I love to have engineers in my audience because after 3 minutes, they forget they are engineers and they become human. That's very
Micha, just you mentioned something about you don't want to be with an artist or something like that. But how does that... What does your day-to-day life look like?
Daily life?
Yeah.
It's all art.
It's all art, but you know, just describe...
Everything is art.
What do you do on a day-to-day basis? How do you organize your day?
I wake up in the morning and say, let's see what is going to happen today. We'll take the bull by the horns. So... let me be more technical. I try to sort of develop a certain sense. In life, we always have the feeling we live from the past into future, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a dream of time from the past to the future. And that's where we are conscious. But there is another stream of time that goes from future into the past at the same time. And we are not conscious of it. We call it Schicksal. Destiny, you know, suddenly, bam, something happens you didn't expect and everything turns around. And that stream, which is goes from the future into the past, is far more interesting to follow in life than the one that is so boring, you know, going from the business as usual, you know, how to handle things and then you go on in life. I'm always concentrating on emerging future. What is coming? What wants to embody in life? What is really now an issue? What is the most important thing? And then be able to immediately detach from business as usual and handle that which is emerging. Because emerging things have very weak signals. You have to learn how to listen to that. It's not usually not a big stuff. It's very subtle. But if we learn to listen to that emerging future, then we start, you know, it's very good for business as well, I'll tell you, because then you are the first who does the right things in order for your company to prosper, is because you have gotten the signals of what really should happen and what tomorrow will be the main issue.
Okay. You work a lot with executives and with people in companies that have really important roles, etc. What would be your advice, or what is it that you would say to the younger generation, people that are starting their careers? Maybe they are not that clear about, you know, this seeing things in what emerges, and come more from planning and deciding that they have to study something because someone tells them or because they think that it could be interesting for them. What would be your advice, or what would you say would be useful to help them in this journey?
Yeah, well, human being would have to have the chance to develop in an encompassing way, allumfassend. And this is today a problem. We have very often what I call, please don't take me for using that word, a lot of professional idiots out there, including myself sometimes. You know, because when you are just concentrated on one issue and you get very good at it, but have no idea how that relates to everything else, then there is a big danger in life. We have so many people on their own islands right now. And question is how to connect. For instance, young people, we have a bunch of technocrats in Silicon Valley, for instance, who are now running the world more or less. And they are young and they have no life experience. They only played with these machines overdue and are brilliant in their own capability there on those machines. But they think that this is going to be the future of the world. Transhumanism. What a joke, to say the least. I would rather say disaster. On the other hand, we have these machines. We are now talking to them. And okay, so they have their place in modern life. But do not mistake this for being something complete or whole. Absolutely not. It's just a tool, and it's actually a poor tool. But okay, it's a tool of course of control. That's the problem. But now going back to your question more decisively, with executives, which by the way I really don't like the term, because you know it comes from execution, which means from killing. So we have to invent some better word for chief empowerment officer. Yeah.
Leaders.
Chief, yeah, like HR, you know, he's also stupid. Human being is not resource. So I always say human resonance officer, not human resources. For chief execs, what is important, because they have decisions and performance to do in front of company and the world, and these decisions will have potentially huge ripples all over society. So what they need to know is that if you make your appearance and you perform on very important issue, look at the artists. How do they perform, and what is in a behind performance? Namely, how we prepare ourselves to perform. You know, my friend said there is front stage, there is backstage, and there is also a place for the soloist, you know, for the art. So there are, in other words, the first step that you make when you start something must have such an impact and so much substance that everything else that follows in place. But the point is, they could learn from the artist how to actually prepare themselves, how to practice a discipline which then gives the performance of an executive another kind of inner substance. For instance, it makes all the difference how you start something, with what kind of inner perception you bring something to the world or to the public. So any beginning of the masterpiece has to have already somewhere the totality in itself. You start something, and as an artist, you already, I'm speaking masterpieces. When you start, you already have the feeling for the totality. So like in a split second, everything is already there. It must unfold afterwards in time. But if it is really masterpiece, and if it is really alive, really organic, then it is already beginning that gives the totality in some kind of sense. Now, how do we reinforce that? Because if you only have good idea, people don't take it. You know, everybody has ideas. So how do you reinforce that? You see, the second step is like this. In the second step, it suddenly takes a gesture of mobilization around up and down and all directions. You see, it's not enough just to have abstract thought, you know, like PowerPoint presentation, but actually it takes the on above and below. Yeah, and then once again, reinforce. It's already more real now. Huh? It has, and what happens then? Now comes the next one. You see, and then that means bah, 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 bah. Yeah. So, at the very beginning of a fugue, this is a subject of the thema, so-called thema, or you have already three things that happen. Mm-hmm. These are the three things we want to have when we start something in any kind of project. We need to have the sense of direction. We must mobilize everybody around us, which means above and below, including digital world and including genius world. Both have to be part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have a guts to implement, to embody, you know. So tell me, does that help with your question?
Yes, thank you, Micha. I mean, one question that probably links good to with that one is, what are you doing right now, and what are your projects from now into the next 6 months or so? and maybe you can also already incorporate some of it, and we can have a feeling of how that looks like, feels like.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Right now I'm learning to go online. You know, we are pushed into this, if we want or not. At least I hope it's just a brief period of 10 years or so. well, look, you know, just let's try to get the curve down. That was supposed to be 1 week or two, and now when it's clear that the test is flawed, it's clear now, everybody knows. But they still use this test to then count the cases. And on the basis of the cases count, the politics is this decided. I mean, this is almost a farce. You know, that's why Dante wrote this work, which is called Divina Commedia. That's what we are middle in Divina Commedia. Okay. What I want to say is that I'm learning to go online. And it's a good learning ground. So I'm reaching out to my clients through the underworld. Yes. And I get a certain amount of reflection back, which is very good learning. And at the same time, I'm gearing up for my major projects, which are waiting out there, which is, for instance, Europa, unfinished masterpiece, I call it, or the journey towards polyphonic European identity. How do we give Europe a chance to find herself mm-hmm. in this modern time? Because Europa is much different than what we think of Europa usually in terms of economy and politics. Europa is conversation of geniuses. Mm-hmm. That is Europa. There Shakespeare speaks to Goethe, Bach speaks to Sibelius. You know, that's Europa. And everybody who comes, you know, when the Chinese come to Europe, they don't go to some kind of research about our social blah blah. They go to the place where Mozart was born to get the feeling for that. They know that Europe is something that the world is waiting for, and that is this genius expression of soul of the nations, well, not nations, of peoples, one could say, of regions, which is expressed through individuals who came in all these places in various forms that reached a platform where there is a polyphony, something that comes together and makes this variety of Europe so beautiful and so meaningful. And that has been put to museum, to the concert hall, and to places where it is sort of half alive and it's just, you know, more or less entertainment. But real essence of Europe is in these genius expressions of individuals who have come through different parts of Europe in different centuries, and together, above the flow of time, they form kind of European quality or qualities which belong together and which give a space or environment in which human individual can develop. And this is something that is missing in organizations. We don't have the right environment for people to actually grow inwardly and become really useful to a company, because so often we just want to have people and use them for certain functions and so on, and they have these limitations top down, you know, command control and job description and all that. And what we really need is a company organization where human being really can develop, and for that you need different environment. And environment is wrong. We have everything is constructed according to the boardroom idea, you know, where you sit around table. When I'm in boardrooms, I first try to get those tables out, but you can't because they're so heavy. You know, they are, you cannot, so I have always fights with people. Away with tables, because they sit behind tables and hide behind tables. It's so we need what I call inspiration place in organization, inspiration room, place where people really deal with problems from completely different angle than 01. Yeah, well, anyway, so that's what I'm preparing my projects. I work with the Balkan countries to connect them with the Brussels and with, I have many, many projects that are so now put on ice at the moment because of the current restrictions. And of course, to reposition art in society is really absolutely necessary. Rediscovery of enormous help we in Europe could get from our own sources. You know, people are used to run to India or some places, you know, to think that they will find answers there. We have the answers here, so we only have to open our senses and be ready to enter this magic world of masterpiece. For instance, I'm not speaking on the music. It's the same with the painting. We don't know how to look. We have to learn how to look. It's all the matter of learning. In every art, there is practice. And it is not art for art. It is art for humanity, art for development. And this is where I'm looking for those who resonate with me, because one person cannot do it. It's impossible. No, we need to be many to sort of turn the paradigm around, namely to discover the power, soft power, gentle power of arts. That's why I work with a lot with women also. Do you know Christine Engwick with WIN, Women International Network, conferences and so on? For instance, we work a lot together. And generally, women much more quickly respond to this urgency to develop gentle power, where art becomes so important. So, for instance, right now, my program, my pro, project is called Healing the Corporate Soul. Healing the Corporate Soul. Because there are so many wounds everywhere through the banishing in to be at home and not able to restricted travel, not be able to feel the people, to meet the people, to lose identity behind the mask and all this, you know, all that goes, all is connected. So I say my project is healing the corporate soul. Now, in order to go, maybe we should concentrate on that for a moment. Is that of
interest? It would be great to get a glimpse of what, what such a program feels.
Yeah. What it is this is how I approach. And I'm pleased that you talked about senses before, because our sphere of senses is very much corrupted. You know, when child is born, look what sense perceptions a baby had, and then gradually they are turned down, they are squirted, they are misused. You know, the senses, this is such a divine instrument. You know, when child is born, it has only one sense. Everything is touch. Everything has to go in mouth, you know, and then it falls apart into 12 senses, like 12 constellation of the stars. And yes, the normal science only knows 5, but we go way beyond that. I work with work of Rudolf Steiner, you know, his sense, science of senses is extraordinary. So first thing is, senses need to be cleaned, so to say, have to be activated, refreshed, nourished. And if you do that, then you start beginning distinguishing qualities in the world. Because world is pregnant with qualities, but the type of life we lead makes us not being able to notice changes and differences in qualities. No matter in what field you go, which sense perception, whether it's food, taste, or whether it is sense seeing, not to talking about sense of thought, and those are already much too far from the reach. But the sense of perception, let's seeing, hearing, and then feeling yourself through the senses in another person, that is what I call learning to ask the Parzival question. I'm referring to Parzival, the great figure of Middle Ages that was captured, of course, by Wagner, and that's why it's known. Otherwise, it would not be known. But the real author, there are many, but the main author is the so to say, creator of medieval German language, Wolfram von Eschenbach. He has actually, with his Parzival epos of 24,000 verses, you know, in medieval German language, he created like foundation for the German language, like Dante for Italian. So his main work is Parzival. And Parzival is an archetypal story. It is a story of the modern young human being who is struggling. Despite the fact that he's the best, you know, Parzival never falls from the horse, except once at the end. But he's always the one who wins. So he is the most successful, if you think about modern managers, you know, and leaders. And yet, he goes into big, big trouble. Because when he comes to the goal of his life, namely to the Grail Castle, he is not able to ask the question which everybody there waits him to ask. Because that question would redeem the wounded king, would redeem many, many sorrows in the world, and he would become the king. But he doesn't ask the question because he's ignorant. He's only looking but doesn't see. So consequently, the rest of his life is seeking Grail Castle and learning to ask the question. And now tell me, isn't that something that is so important for our time? People don't ask questions. They only repeat what mainstream media tells them. You ask a question. This is strange. Corona. Where are the dead? Nobody's dead. Everybody's fine. And everybody's locked down. Huh? How strange. So, healing the corporate soul means that we learn to ask fellow human being the question with compassion, the question of compassion, learning to ask the question in such a way that with all your inner substance you spill over into the person you ask, and you really are interested in what is their problem, not like, how are you today? You know, and there is nothing behind. People say that in States mostly. How are you today? It's just, you know, empty words. But really to learn to how to open up, discover something unique about our fellow human being, because your senses are absolutely engaged. And then asking them, what is your problem? What ails you, uncle? Asks Parsifal, what is your, tell me, I'm here for you, I'm listening, I support you. And if we develop perception and learning to ask that kind of question out of real compassion, real feeling permeated inner substance, then people open up. Your fellow human beings open up and they tell you about it, and they are so grateful that there is somebody who is there to listen to you. And that is the beginning of the healing the corporate soul. You can say simply care about people, but that's not enough. I want this to be terminus technicus, you know, to be something that is very like a tool, but not a tool you learn and then you say, how are you today? You know, it's inner development. You have to grow into this capability of asking that question, because while you learn to do that, you start changing. You also are starting to ask yourself the same question. What is my problem? And now I'm going to take a masterpiece and I'll show you this journey. Okay. And then when we are finished, then we can have the final conversation. Is that a good plan?
Excellent. That's a great way to exemplify this journey.
All right. So then let us go. Effective, no? And especially they never forget, because this is so different. Yeah. This stays forever, or for 10 years at least. And therefore it becomes a guiding line for Monday morning. I call it Monday morning. Because on Monday morning, when you are back to your company, old patterns, they overwhelm you. And that's where you need something really strong to put against it. And that is the experience of masterpiece. Because they say, no, we don't want to go back, we want to go forward. So let me now play through, so then we can have the final conversation. Thank you. So.
Hi, thank you very much, Micha.
It's confusing to sort of have training of attention ahead of it and then listening. I can guarantee you that if I only played without the other thing, you would not be able to really differentiate, because it's beautiful and moves on. But now when you learn to differentiate, you suddenly notice it is like nature. It is organic and it is meaningful. Every element has its place. Imagine human life would be like that.
Thanks, Micha. Thank you very much for sharing so much with us. It was a surprise, actually. We were almost not expecting seeing so much life and being able to bring that also out to the people that are interested in knowing more about the work you do. I can see how that need of this healing the corporate soul is something that we're going to be working on. It was relevant before COVID, and it becomes more and more relevant as time passes by, it's a key thing to reconnect to our senses, to our emotions, express feelings, ask the right questions, listen with our souls, putting compassion into it and stop being machines and being more human beings. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time today as well. We're a bit beyond the time that we originally imagined, but we felt that we didn't want to stop you, since it was such a beautiful thing to join that journey a bit and get a feel for that workshop.
Heartful thanks, Micha, for your insights, dive into your ideas about music, magic, violin, feelings and emotions in combination with development. I'm delighted by the grand enthusiasm of your Healing Sound project.
That you are such a wonderful listeners, you know, this is something you don't find around every corner. So it doesn't help if I just play for the four walls in the room. You know, you in music, you always need two or more. So you have given possibility this to unfold. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful. Herzlich danke auch. Mm-hmm. Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah.
Bye.
Wow.
We will be adding all relevant links to the podcast notes. If you liked our podcast, please take a minute to rate us and share it with a friend. And don't forget to share your favorite quote from the podcast in the comments. Looking forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks, Claudia and Mercedes.